Be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 54. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You may be seated.
I want to begin by wishing everyone a Merry Christmas to yours and to you. I hope that you will be safe in all your travels, and we have some that have traveled a good way to be here, and we're thankful that you've come and made Seven Oaks a part of your holiday plans, and it's great to see many of you again, and we pray that this service is encouraging to you, and that your memories, maybe when you grew up here, are fond and are encouraging to you as well. We're finishing off a series entitled One Word that we've been doing all year and reading devotionals with those, and we're ending by thinking about the Godhead. Last week we talked about the Father, and then appropriately today we're talking about Christ. And then, Lord willing, Michael Tidwell will talk about, what a gift. Michael, you get to do the Holy Spirit next week. And so he's going to do that, and we appreciate his willingness to do that in what could be a challenging topic. What a blessing it is to be able to think about Christ and what Jesus means to us. When we think about the term Christ, and I don't see my clicker up here. Let me check real fast. Josh, you mind checking in there and seeing if it's on that table? But Brad will help me out while we go. When we think about the word Christ, it's used 529 times in your New Testament. You would probably even recognize it there, Christos. 529 times. What's also interesting about this expression is that it is not the last name of Jesus. You know, we think about Jesus Christ, and you might think that that was just his last name, because we grow up thinking like Josh Ketchum, and my last name is Ketchum, and first name Josh. And so we think Jesus, first name, last name Christ. Most kids probably at some time in their life when they're learning about Jesus Christ think that. But this is not his last name. It is a title of who He is. He is Jesus the Christ. It is a title. It means the Anointed One, the Messiah. The Messiah of God. It is the term that involves Him being described as the one who had been prophesied about, the Savior of the world, the Anointed of God, who would come into this world. And so notice, no, find it, that's no problem, thanks for looking. When we think about the term Christ and who Jesus is, we need to understand that the Old Testament, in talking about this term, has the primary identification that the Messiah, the Christ, is coming. He is coming. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, we have the prophetic reference that there would be a coming person who would crush the head of the serpent. In Genesis chapter 12, we have in the covenant made with Abraham that there would be someone coming who all nations of the earth and all families of the earth would be blessed. That's a reference to Jesus. In the prophets, you have men like Isaiah, whom we consider to be the messianic prophet, who talks a lot about Jesus. For example, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, a verse that you hear much around this time of the year, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." of the increase of His government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. In chapter 61 of Isaiah, he says, referring to the Messiah, that He will be anointed to bring good news to the poor. He will set the bind. He will send me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then finally, in that great chapter, chapter 53, he talks about how he's going to be a suffering servant who will be despised and rejected and accursed for our afflictions. The prophet Isaiah is a good example of many of the detailed prophecies that said the Messiah is coming. The anointed one of God, He is coming. And there was this idea that He's going to be a king. He's going to be a priest. He's going to be a prophet like Moses. And He's going to be also the suffering servant. Now, if you had those ideas, obviously you would tend to go and focus more on the king idea. And so the Jewish people focused on that. And so the Messiah comes. He comes. And the New Testament records about the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. And notice in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 5, that we have the reference and the description of Jesus coming to this world. In verses 1 and following, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He who has been born King of the Jews?' So they're wondering, where is this one who's been born? They had heard about Him being born. Herod is going to inquire about it. And the scribes and the chief priests, verse number 4, could tell him where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. He was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so Jesus of Nazareth is born. He is born in the place where they said the Messiah would be born. And then notice as you continue on the story, for example, in John chapter 4, Jesus will be talking to the Samaritan woman, and He claims to be the Christ. In John chapter 4, 25 through 26, the woman said to Him, "I know that the Messiah, that the Christ is coming, He who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who am speaking to you am He." Jesus was born in the place where the Messiah was going to be born. He was born of a virgin, born of the Virgin Mary, like it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born. He claims to be the Messiah. He says, "I am the Messiah. I am the one who is to come. I am the Christ." And then in Matthew chapter 26, the reason Jesus died, the reason they put Him to death, was because He claimed to be the Messiah. Look at verse 63. "But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to Him, 'I adjure you by the living God, tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?' And Jesus said to him, 'You have said so. You have said so.'" Now here's the thing. And I want you to think with me about this important question. The Old Testament prophets and the Jewish people were looking forward to, they were anticipating the coming of the Christ. A man named Jesus of Nazareth. He is born and He comes claiming He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Is He the Christ? That's the question. And that's the question that people are asking even today. and even tomorrow as we think about the Christian holiday, is Jesus the Christ? Is He the Son of God? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked the people, His closest followers, His disciples, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say I am? And the apostles, you know, talking about it, they said, well, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, when you think about this, Jesus says, hey, y'all got your ears to the ground. Y'all are going around in all these places. When you hear them talk about me, who do they say I am? Notice that none of them said, you're the Messiah. There are three common things about these three men, about the answers they gave. Notice in the first place, all of these men are notable prophets. They thought, Jesus, you're pretty special. There's a lot of discussion, you know, on sports talk radio, or on ESPN, the network with all their TV shows, or CBS Sports, or any of the kind of Fox Sports. They talk about great players. And they'll bring up a player, and they'll say, now he's great. Let's talk about quarterbacks, for example. And they'll talk about, oh, this quarterback's great. But then they want to talk about, and this is kind of a funny label, I think. They want to talk about who's the GOAT. Y'all understand that acronym? The greatest of all time. And you know, they want to put in who's the greatest of all time. And they'll talk about, well, this guy's really special. For his era, for his time, look what he did. He won this many Super Bowls. He had this many statistics. But he's not the GOAT. Then they'll talk about somebody else and they'll get into arguing about all this discussion. Well, that's kind of the way it was here. They were discussing about Jesus and about Him being special. And they're all talking about how He's special like all these prophets. Boy, He's a lot like Elijah. He does a lot of miracles like Elijah. Man, He's like John the Baptist. He preaches like John. He reminds us of John. He reminds me of John, but He's like Jeremiah. He weeps and has the compassion of Jeremiah. But you know what nobody said there in this discussion? They didn't say He was the GOAT. They didn't say He's the Messiah. And so, they talk about all these are notable prophets. The second thing is, all of these individuals are dead. They're all dead. John was dead. Elijah was dead. Jeremiah's dead. So they're comparing Jesus to these people. And then, in the third place, all the answers are wrong. There's a lot of people today, especially at this time of year, and we're thankful that they think about Jesus. There's a lot of people today, they look at Jesus and they say, you know what, He is special. He's special. The teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, is the greatest discourse on moral living ever written. If people would just follow, for example, the Golden Rule, it would change this world. If people would follow the teachings of Jesus, this would be a much better world. People talk about, you know, for example, the Islamic people. He was a great prophet. I believe he spoke a message of God. Many people will say, I believe he was a God. But he wasn't the God. Many people will say, you know what? I believe that Jesus was an inspired religious teacher. He was special. But you know what? Being close, Jesus was a lot like John, a lot like Jeremiah, a lot like Elijah, but guess what? All those answers were wrong. Jesus is not just special. And so as you continue to read in this passage, Jesus says to the disciples in verse 16, but who do you say? Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then verse 16 happens. Peter says in a very famous way, and with what had to be some courage. You know, he jumps out there. And he says, I tell you what, Jesus. I tell you what, apostles. I'm going to say what everybody else has been thinking in this group. But I want to make sure that I step out on faith and I'm going to say it. You're not John. You're not Elijah. You're not Jeremiah. You are the Christ. The one, the only, the one we've been looking for, the one that has been prophesied about, the one who's going to come in the air on the clouds at the end of time. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see what Peter does? He says, I want to tell you something. Everybody's asking the question, is Jesus of Nazareth the one we've been looking for? Now, Matthew chapter 24 and other passages tell us that there was a lot of Christ out there. There was a lot of false Christ and people coming along saying, I'm the Messiah. It was a time in Palestine, a political revolt, a time when a lot of people were coming and they were trying to say, I'm the Christ, follow me and we'll overthrow Rome. All kinds of people were trying to come up. Peter says, I want to tell you something. There is one Christ, and I'll tell you who it is. It is Jesus of Nazareth. He's not just special. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, based upon that, in the following verses, there are three observations that Jesus made about Peter's confession in verse 17 through 19. The first one is this. He says in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Notice, he says you are blessed when you recognize Christ. I want you to hear that. He says you're blessed when you recognize Christ. Salvation begins and it comes for us when we recognize Jesus as the Christ. It is, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12 through 13, the good confession. Christ is the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 10, 32 through 33, Jesus says, whoever will acknowledge me before men, him will I acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. In Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10, with our mouth we confess, and that leads into salvation. And then in John chapter 10, 28, John chapter 20, it should be 28 through 29, we read about the blessing that comes from believing. Notice John 20. Thomas answered, my Lord and my Christ. And Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We need to understand that the question that this world has been asking, the question that the Jews were asking, the question that first century was asking, the question that everybody in our world in some way is asking at the Christmas holiday is this. Is Jesus the Christ? And if you answer yes to that, I want you to know there's a blessing. It's a blessing to recognize that Christ is the Son of the living God. But number two, secondly, you notice that it is the appropriate response to the revelation of God. Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You learn and you come to know that Jesus is the Son of God through the revelation of God. In other words, you can have it revealed not miraculously, but through the Word of God. In our mission efforts around the globe, especially in Latin America, but in China and other places like that, we have found that many people at first were not interested in learning about Jesus. But they were primarily interested in learning about English. And so we would start, let's start talking program, and our brethren who were working in trying to be missionaries to these people would start what's called let's start talking programs, where they would just read the Gospel of Luke or John with people who were wanting to learn English. You think, well, they're just going to read the gospel to learn English. And yeah, a lot of the people were only interested in that. But you know what was the phenomenal thing that we discovered? Is that when people start reading the Bible and they start learning about a man named Jesus, that the conviction, the message that He is the Christ, comes across through reading of Scripture. And people become convicted of that. That's how it comes to everybody. It may be through the proclamation of preaching. It may be through sitting in your study and reading Scripture, but it is always through the revelation of God's Word. In fact, John would refer to that in chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, when he says that the things written were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Bible has as its primary purpose the message that Jesus is the Christ. And it's through that story that He is the Messiah, He's the Christ, and the message of how we become in Jesus, how we become saved, that's the message of the Bible. He is the Christ. And so we find out the message that Jesus is Christ from the Word of God. So let me tell you something. If we have someone here this morning, we may, some guests, some visitors, others, who has not been a believer and is not a believer in Jesus the Messiah. And maybe this is your one time a year to attend church. My challenge to you is this. Investigate and study to see is Jesus of Nazareth the Christ. He's not just someone special. Find out. Read His story. Check out the claims. Study about the resurrection and see. And you'll find, I believe, that He is the Son of God. The third thing that we find out about Jesus in this response in Matthew chapter 16 is that Jesus says, right after my Father has revealed this to you, He says in verse 18, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The third lesson we learn is that belief in Christ forms the foundation of the church. That is, we are united in the church, and we're all here today, not because we just like coming in here and singing these songs, or not because we all like each other and we're just one big family. Our reason we are together that draws us, that unites us as one family, is that we all believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what unites us with Christians around the globe. That is why the church is formed. Because it forms people who believe Christ is the Son of God into a body, into a family. Belief in Christ is the foundation of the Lord's church. And any church that does not have that belief has totally sold out any biblical, scriptural truth whatsoever. And this is why we must, as a church, always remember that we cannot separate our faith in Jesus from the church that Jesus established. And that we need to understand that if I believe in Jesus as the Son of God, then it calls me to be faithful and committed to the local church of His people. Because He is the head, He is the Savior of His church. And the church is built upon the foundation that He is the Son of God, the Christ. And so Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now it is our turn. It was the question the Jews were asking. It was the question Jesus asked the apostles. "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It's the question that Peter got right. It's the question that the centurion in Matthew 27, our scripture reading, said after he saw those miraculous signs, he saw what happened there on the cross, and he said, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." It is the question that every person must ask. And this is one of the reasons why we're thankful that our nation still thinks about Christmas and connects it with Jesus, because hopefully it makes people think, is the one born in a manger 2,000 years ago, is He the Christ? Is He the Savior of the world? And if He is, how does that change my life? Are you living a life that says, who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that, then you need to respond to Him through belief. I believe that. Through repentance, saying, I want to change my life. Through confession, saying that in a public gathering, Christ is the Son of God. And through immersion in water, baptism, to have your sins washed away, to become a child of God, to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.
To follow Jesus.